Hi, this is JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Here at UK Health Radio, we're hugely saddened by the loss at New Year of my co-presenter, Dr. Mark Goulston. But we hope that you'll appreciate the chance to hear once again one of our Hurt Less, Live More shows in honour of a special friend. Here it is now. Hello and welcome to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston, psychiatrist and coach. It's just us today, Dr. Mark, and I think I need your help today because I have been hugely triggered by something. I'm not as triggered as I was yesterday when it happened, but I would love to get your input on this because I just, you know, It's so prevalent in the world today, and it really pushed my buttons. And I just thought, wow, if that can happen to me, think about everybody else who's feeling really fragile right now. Yeah. So should we go into that?
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, if this shows up on YouTube, this could be a double winner for us. But go ahead, tell the story.
Absolutely. Well, I was calling up about a claim yesterday, and I'd called a number of times, and this has been hugely delayed. And everybody so far has been quite nice about it. You know, don't understand what's happening. We'll get on to it. And then they never do. And so I called again yesterday, having been told that this was going to be expedited. And it was, you know, they were kicking it upstairs, basically. And I thought, well, I'll just phone and see how that's getting on. And I got this woman on the other end of the phone who all she wanted to do was just parrot what they are told to say. And I said, well, that's all very well, however, can't you tell me what's happening? No, we have no communication with them. Well, can I speak to a manager? No, I was blocked at every turn. And she just kept going back to what she had to say, which was the same old mantra, the same old rote, you know, the script that they're given to say. And I would say, yes, but, and she would just talk over me. And then eventually she said, can I just say you're being very rude because you keep interrupting me? I said, well, you keep saying the same thing over and over. And I just want to know this, that, you know, these things. And she said, I have not repeated myself. I have not told you yet what's going on, and you are being incredibly rude. And so it went on for a little while, and then the phone went dead. So either the line dropped or she just decided she didn't want to talk to me anymore. And I was so frustrated. I was sitting screaming inwardly, thinking, what? Where has that come from? And then I realized that it was part of this old thing in my life of being unheard, of people not listening or feeling that people weren't listening to me. And also the, not the ghosting, but the gaslighting, you know, like, oh no, I haven't done that. No, you've got it all wrong and you're the rude one. And I just thought, wow, I felt really triggered. And so I just thought this would be a good thing to talk about today because I had thought that probably I was past all that, that this wouldn't rise its ugly head again in my lifetime. But there it was. It's so interesting that these things can be so deeply buried and the smallest thing seemingly can really trigger you. So, you know, tell me what you think about that. So what do you think we should have done here? Or I should have done here? And that was the other thing. I kept thinking, what could I have done differently here? Could I have done something differently? So I'd love to have your input on that. He's gobsmacked. Yeah. Doesn't know what to say.
No, because I had a similar situation, except I dodged a bullet because I was there in the kitchen and my wife was talking to our bank about her being able to be able to deal with the account, even though I'm the name. Mm-hmm. And she put the person on speakerphone, and it was clear that he was just following whatever his training told him.
Yeah.
He was probably looking up, you know, how to field her question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could see she was getting a little bit exasperated. And I was thinking, am I in for it after this call? Yeah, it's your bank account and you're the name on it and whatever. And it was, and I think I dodged a bullet because afterwards he did look at me and I said, I can't believe you do all of this for me. I mean, I'm glad I'm sitting here because I just can't believe all the things you do for me that would just drive me. First of all, I'd be incompetent and it would just drive me, you know, instead of waiting to deal with dying, I just go kill myself. I mean, geez, I'm sorry you went through that. And so I think she felt heard by me. But let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person had said instead, you know, what's your name? Well, you can call me JJ. What's this about? Can I ask you something, JJ? Have you ever felt trapped in a job?
Yeah.
And you go, what? Yeah, have you ever felt trapped in a job and it was making you crazy and you didn't have a way out? And you'd go in each day and say, is this the day that I'm going to quit? But I don't have a backup plan for, you know, making some income to take care of things. And, you know, and each day you kind of dodge a bullet. But one of these days, you're not going to be able to. And have you ever felt so trapped in a job, you know, because you're dealing with the frustration, legitimate frustration of customers and a bureaucracy that frustrates you the way you then go on to frustrate customers. I mean, I really can't reach the people above me. Or yeah. If I try to, you know, I get all this pushback and I'm going to work every day saying, I can't do this much longer. So JJ, have you ever been in that position?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And after the event, it did strike me that, you know, these people in jobs at the other end of the phone dealing with requests, complaints, you know, all of these things, they have a horrible job.
Oh, yeah.
I think. And then I wondered, well, there were two things crossed my mind. One is that if I was a little bit more fragile mm-hmm. in my state, it's things like this that can really push people over the edge, you know. And I did feel very deeply that, you know, echoes of that depression and frustration, and thought, wow. So if I was already down there, this could send me even further down. And possibly, now you said just then, you know, you maybe kill yourself. Well, it's nothing to joke about, right? I could see that could happen. And then, you know, I think, well, I get that you're in a really probably very boring job. I don't know. You know, some people seem to be okay doing it. But where was the empathy on their part? And where was the, even if she'd said, I understand this must be frustrating, that would have really softened everything.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I was just accused of being rude, you know, and I was being gaslit or gaslighted. I never remember, never work out which one it is. And I just thought, no, this is horrible. This is really a horrible way for two human beings to interact. So I'm wondering, and I did think actually, oh my God, I would just love to get in there and do some training. I would love to train these people on how to speak to people on the phone. nearly, you know, ring up their HR department and say, you need to train these people better. But maybe we can do some of that here. I mean, I think what you were saying there really would have helped, of course.
Something I've shared with on other episodes is, you know, I come up with some of these tactics, and one of them is called the FUD crud tactic.
Yes. Yeah.
And what if that person had said to you, JJ, I think that you're really frustrated and you're holding back.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, what?
Mm.
Yeah, I think that you're really frustrated and you're holding back because I think you're really upset and angry and maybe even disappointed that you ever got involved with our company. And, you know, there was a point at which you said yes, so you became a customer, and then, you know, and here these things happen. And, you know, you've said to yourself, I'm not going to, you know, sign on for a service or a product and then have to deal with, you know, all the difficulty getting it to work. And so I'll bet you're holding back. I mean, if she had said that, you sound really frustrated and I think you're holding back.
Well, yes, of course. I think we've talked about this before, though. It takes somebody with a lot of emotional intelligence to come up with that.
Oh, yeah. Even people with emotional intelligence can't come up with that.
True. However, if they did, and they were able to take the barrage that might come when you unleash that frustration, mm-hmm. then having been sort of given permission to do so, you know, that would be, you would have to be strong enough to take that. But it would help, absolutely. Because you do feel that you can't express exactly how you feel because it's not proper. It's not right. Because this poor person, you know, they haven't done anything particularly. They're just not being particularly helpful at this point. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones who are frustrating you per se. So it seems unfair to unleash on them. But, you know, if they were able to take that, well, that would be great, wouldn't it? That would really sort of move things along a bit. You'd be able to vent a bit and then go away kind of feeling a lot better because you've vented. Sure. Yeah.
I'm wondering also, because I put myself in your shoes in this event, and maybe it's a question of aging for me. I hate not being able to be clear about what I need. You know, I hate not being able to clearly articulate the problem. It causes me to feel powerless. I don't like feeling powerless. And rather than saying to myself, I'm kind of powerless now to even describe the problem. I mean, this often happens when one of your appliances breaks down and you just, you know, I don't know what a pilot light is. What do you mean? Well, it's attached to such and such. Well, blah, 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 blah. But I think what's going on with me, especially as I get older, is I hate the feeling of powerlessness when I'm not able to be clear and articulate the problem so someone else can help me. And so I actually blame it on them for not understanding, and they deserve a fair amount of the responsibility, especially if they're in customer service. But I also deserve some of the responsibility for not being able to really articulate things. This happens all the time. I mean, anytime I try to fix something in technology, you know, my Zoom calls, and well, it's just a matter of this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know, I'm not technically that advanced. So I wonder what our listeners are thinking. I think this is a good topic because, ooh, so I just created an avatar for our listeners. And what I hear from our listeners saying is, oh, you're really talking about something that is close to my life because you know, I feel really thin skinned right now. I feel like it takes very little to set me off.
Yeah.
And maybe it is that when I look at my life, I feel somewhere between powerless and incompetent in almost every direction. And I feel even incompetent about even how to ask for help in any direction. And so I'm just sitting there stewing with it. And, you know, and I was pretty good. I was on the wagon, and now I'm going to go have a big, a big pint or two. And
yeah,
it's interesting because, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think the powerlessness thing, that notion is so important, because absolutely, I felt completely disempowered, and I hated that. I absolutely hated having no power of this situation whatsoever. So I'm with you on that. Let's explore that a little bit more later. We're just going to have a quick break now to listen to some of our sponsors who have these messages for us. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my friend, Dr. Mark Goulston. And we're talking about powerlessness before the break and how powerless or disempowered I felt after my episode on the telephone yesterday. I just felt it drove me crazy. That feeling of not having any power, of not being heard, of not being, not being able to get anywhere.
Well, let me ask you something, and you can say, Mark, that's a little bit over psychoanalyzing the whole thing.
You're a psychiatrist. That's what you're supposed to do.
I know, I'm supposed to do a lot of things. But one thing I'm not going to do is take those calls that I'm just dumping on my wife today, because they would drive me over the edge. But I'm wondering, when we're feeling disempowered or we're feeling triggered like that, I wonder if what's fueling it is that if we drill down, we didn't have positive childhood experiences of someone walking us through it. So we were left all alone to stew about it, to be angry at our parents, and then we tried to deal with it, but we were just little kids. But I'm just imagining if we had that ideal parent, and this would be the tactic, what happened? You know, that's what the parent would say. What happened? And you start to talk about it. And then the parent says, you know, say more about that. So what you're doing is you're helping your child to talk it through. And hopefully they're having the experience, not consciously, but geez, I'm feeling better, you know, because mom or dad's listening and they're not trying to minimize it. Oh, you'll be okay. Or that such and such. And don't worry about it. And go play in your room or, go hang yourself in your closet. And I'm wondering if what happens is many of us have, if we're still alive, we got past a lot of that, but we never got over it. So the fact that we weren't talked through it, we didn't internalize that we can get through things like that. You know, one of my favorite anecdotes, which you've heard, but I'll just use it again, is you can have whatever feelings you have about Tiger Woods, but he had a great relationship with his dad. They were close friends. And I often talk about the power of internalizing that parent who talks you through things. And the anecdote is that Tiger was playing in his first professional Masters tournament, 1997. And he shoots a 40 on the front nine, and you know something about it since you live near St. Andrews. and he goes to his dad, and he basically says, the wheels are coming off. I don't know what to do. And because of all the times that his dad had helped talk him through, you know, instead of throwing the club, breaking the club, all those times, his father just, you know, absorbed what Tiger was saying and said, you've been here 1,000 times before. Just do what you need to do. And Tiger went out and shot 18 under par after being like 4 over par.
Mm.
And that set a record until a couple of years ago.
Mm.
But I think that's the power of when you've had those experiences and you've been able to internalize someone talking you through it, you know, then somewhere inside yourself is, without even remembering the experience, there's some memory of, this has happened to me before and I got through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a muscle memory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. And it was very much taking me back to this childhood thing that I thought that I'd sort of, you know, ditched a while back. But, you know, having done a lot of work on myself, when I saw the reaction and I kind of went, oh my God, you know, why am I feeling like this again? What's going on here? So I don't want to stay in that for very long. This is not where I want to be. I don't want to be this reactive. And so, you know, I thought, so what do I do to get out of it? And so not having had the parental support in that sense, I have given myself some support over the years by learning how to deal with things, stuff. And I thought, okay, so what can I do right now to just try and shift this?
Okay, so here's a little tactic. I'm just making it up. So this is a fresh one. This is not a one where JJ rolls her eyes. Here we go again. If at that moment, and if you're listening in, you get triggered way above what the actual trigger is, if you can stop yourself, pause and say, what is it that I never got over?
Yeah. And that's what I did.
Now, what is it that I never got over that has just laid me open to this? And you did that, and that helped sort of recenter you?
Yeah, it helped. It, because I was able to name, you know, what was lying behind it all. Because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a person on the phone behaving the way she behaved. Obviously, there was something deep within me that was coming up. And so, yes, I did ask myself, you know, what is it that I haven't, where is that coming from?
Okay, and so when you did that, Were you able to come up with, memories of not being supported in the most positive way, and being kind of left alone, feeling helpless, powerless, and your parents either not knowing what to do or not caring about it, and just
that came up very strongly.
And did you then switch to being angry at your parents for that? Or because one of the things I remember when I used to be practicing therapy is I'd say, you have a choice. You know, we've gotten to the root. We've gotten to your childhood. And this is what your parents did or failed to do. So here's your choice. You can get angry at them, but you're ignoring the hurt child that you were. You can get angry at them, or you can try to find a way to connect with the hurt child that you were. Because if you get angry at them, that hurt child who still lives inside you is going to say, well, you know, look, I'm glad you're standing up for me, but I'm still here hurt. And yes, you're standing up for me and retaliating for the wrong that they did, but I'm still all alone in this. When are you going to come back and find me instead of coming back and then focusing on what they did to me and grown up self JJ, what they did to us? And I think if you can frame it that way, you know, you can't do both at the same. What do you want to do? Well, I want to get angry at those parents. What do you need to do? I got to find a way to make sure that little JJ was whole again.
Yeah. And I found that I didn't want to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But although it would have been understandable if that had been the reaction. I didn't want to get angry. But I thought I was, just going inside and sort of working out what was going on. I thought, it doesn't have to be like that anymore. I'm going to do some more work, a little bit more work on that. And as you say, to make sure that the child, the inner child, is okay. I haven't had time to just take the time today yet, but I will do. But what I did do is say to myself, but I can feel this in my body. I can feel this, in very specific parts of my body. And I want to let that go. I want to get shot of that. There's no place for it anymore. How do I do that?
Okay, so.
So then I went and I did a lot of exercise. It was dark, but I still went for a walk. I've got a little mini trampoline. I started doing some jumping on that, shaking it, literally shaking that out. And I felt so much better for that. But I absolutely go with what you're saying. There's still work to be done just to finally make sure that that young me is well and truly cared for.
So can I give you a little exercise to try that maybe can free it up a little bit?
Yes, please.
So if you're listening in, this is what I'm going to try with JJ is something, it looks like it's a little bit reverse psychology, but what it is, there's a term called mediated catharsis. I'm going to give her words for what she may need to express, but she doesn't have the words. I'm going to give them to her. So I'm going to channel my inner JJ, and what she says to me is, don't you get it, Mark? I'm afraid to let go of my anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I let go of my anger, it's like a scab. And the amount of hurt underneath that anger would wash me away. I know intellectually it's what you need to do to heal from it, but I'm really afraid to let go of anger because it's protected me for so long, but it's like a false protection. But I'm just afraid of the hurt. I'm afraid that I may start remembering things that I needed to push away and forget because they were just so hurtful and so horrendous. But Mark, I'm tired. You know, I'm just tired of being so easily triggered. And yes, I'm glad I found a coping skill. You know, I can go jump on the trampoline. I can go swim. And it gets me past it, but it doesn't get me over it. And I'm tired, Mark. I'm tired of not being over it. And I just don't know how to. And I'm afraid that if the way to get over it is to feel the hurt and the fear underneath the anger, I don't know how I survived it the first time, Mark. And I'm afraid if I gave the hurt and the fear, which I think was immense, another shot at me, it would take me down. Now, I know intellectually, you know, it wouldn't. I know that it would have the opposite effect. I know that. But in this real hurt, frightened little girl, this girl who just had an amazing mind and couldn't understand why life was happening this way. Like, this is not the way life is supposed to be. This is not the way you're supposed to, what a family's supposed to be. And Mark, it wasn't just a day. It was weeks. It was years. And that girl's just stuck there. And she's really sweet. And she doesn't know what to do with all this hurt. And then she discovers anger. And the anger distracts her. But after all these decades, it's exhausting. I'm great at coping, Mark. I just want to heal. I just want to be able to speak to a customer service person, have them frustrate the hell out of me, and be able to say, you know, look, you know, it's okay. We're not having a helpful conversation at either end of this phone. I'll try back. Or I'll call back. I'll get someone else. I hope you don't get too burned out on your job. It sounds like it's not the happiest job. And you'll be okay and I'll be okay. And I'd like to be able to say it, not just tactically, because I could leave that call and say, JJ, you didn't solve anything technically, but that was a great call. So could you follow any of that?
Oh, yeah. I will tell you exactly how that made me feel right after we come back from another short break to hear these messages from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try buy our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're still listening to Hurt Less, Live More, I'm glad to say, with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston. We are the biggest talk health radio station in the world. And before the break, Mark, you were talking, putting words into my mouth about how I would be feeling, you know. As you were talking, I could feel my heart just absolutely just relaxing and opening, and just feeling this outpouring of compassion. And it was just beautiful. Thank you. Yeah.
It's interesting because my hope is it helps you hurt less.
Well, I think it certainly set me on the road. I think that over the years I've done a lot of work. I've hurt less. When it comes to a lot of things, but this is another layer, and it's certainly helping me. I can feel it. Yeah. Thank you. Very powerful. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, this, and look, people will say, where'd you learn this, Mark? And because I know those feelings that you're having, and I know what was missing for me. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to turn them into words that I needed to hear. I'm thinking of actually doing something. I may actually launch it, because of my health issues. I really don't give talks. I give Zoom presentations here and there. And I woke up this morning and I was really inspired by I could change the title of it, but it was, I'm thinking of recording, and I'll just put it up on YouTube and people can watch if they want, called the Pay It Forward lecture. Because I was thinking that, and you know this story, and some of the listeners may know this, but I had a rough time in medical school, and medical school wanted to throw me out because they were losing money. And someone stepped in, the dean of students cared about well-being more than finances. And what I realized is when I met with him and he told me that they basically wanted to kick me out, I don't know what happened, but what do they say in alcoholism? You have to bottom out. I didn't just bottom out. I broke right in his presence. And I'm not religious, but I think I had a resurrection, because there I was broke in his presence, and he saw value in me just for who I was, whether I did anything. Again, he just saw something in me that was valuable and I didn't have to perform. He saw a future for something that I could bring the world. And then he saw that I felt helpless, and he said, I'm going to step in and stand up to the medical school for you. And it flipped a switch in me. And I've been paying it forward ever since. So when I'm with people, I see the goodness in them that they can't see. I see the future for them that they can't see. And I will step in and intervene and protect them when they can't protect themselves. And I had a weird experience some years ago. I was raised Jewish, and so this is not even the right religion. And I was speaking to Reverend Jim Kowalski. He was the head reverend at St. John the Divine. That's a big church in Manhattan. They during Christmas they have the giraffes and the elephants and all that.
Yeah.
And as I was speaking to him, and I shared the story about this dean of students, I got this warm rush through me. I mean, a warm rush. And I said, Jim, that dean of students, he was an angel. He was an angel sent down to save me. And I've never felt it, you know, I'm feeling it in your presence, but he was an actual angel when he did that. You know, and I'd shared with him that, you know, I kind of paid it forward, my work with suicidal patients and trying to alleviate hurt. And then he said something that I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm going to say it. He said, yes, Mark, he was an angel. And then he said to me, and Mark, you're an angel.
Oh.
I said, what? He said, Mark, you're an angel.
Oh, that's beautiful. How did that make you feel?
Oh, I said to him, I said, look, I'm not even the right religion. My religion doesn't have angels. I said, you know, I am not ready to accept what you just said.
Mm.
On the other hand, I'm not fully rejecting it. And after that, I think that also flipped the switch in me because I walk differently.
Interesting.
And it's interesting now that I face my mortality. This just helped me understand something right now. So I've always lived to give, you know, to sort of pay it forward.
Mm.
But now I give to live.
Oh, wow.
I know, really, every day I have no control over it. And when I'm doing it, I feel alive. I feel alive in ways that I just feel alive.
That's just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Well, you know, I love giving to you.
I know.
You know, because at the very least, I want you to get your voice out because you have a voice. You know, you're not Greta Garbo here.
I want to be alone. No, absolutely. Thank you. And, you know, I'm so grateful to you as well because you are very incredibly generous with your time, with everything. Yeah. We need more people like you in the world. Is this becoming a little bit like a sort of mutual admiration society? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's a mutual love society.
True. Yeah.
But, you know, so I may record that a little bit later, but I really feel compelled to pay it forward. And, you know, and I had this realization, we can focus on what the world did to us and live to get even, or we can focus on what the world did for us and live to give back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Let go of all that pain start a life of hurting a lot less, let go of all that pain, and start looking at what the world's done for us and what we can give.
Absolutely, yeah. Because before that dean of students stepped in and said, "You're going to let me help you." So he didn't leave my powerless to chance. He said, "You're going to let me help you." It did flip a switch in me. And prior to that, I was very sarcastic. I was cynical. I was witty. I was funny, but it always had sort of a, I don't think I was malicious because I didn't really want to ever hurt anyone down deep. But boy, you know, you talked about something sensitive and I would turn it into a joke. And it was all protective. And then I think when he stepped into saying, you know, "I'll stand up for you against the entire medical school," he was an angel.
Yeah, he was. He was. And I think we're lucky if we've found somebody along the line, you know, along somewhere in our lives who's been able to do that for us. I didn't have the same kind of impact, but I do remember many years ago when I was still training as a journalist, and my tutor had to do a report on how I was doing. And, you know, I got really good marks in all my exams. I, you know, did very well. I wrote a brilliant essay, you know, thesis to... That counted towards my certificate. And there was one day my tutor called me into his office and he said, "I just want to show you this and I won't show it to your editor if you don't want me to." And it said, well, Joan, as he would call me then, will be a really wonderful journalist one day if she just learns to have more faith in herself and gets over her, what was the word he used? Lack of self-confidence. And I said, "Please don't send that to my editor," because I couldn't imagine my editor seeing that as a positive. But of course, he probably had no intention of sending it to my editor. He just wanted to let me see what he thought. And this was one way of doing it.
Well, you know, maybe what happens is when we're young, we send out signals to our parents and we're looking for some kind of, I hate to use the fancy word, attunement, where they emotionally just get it just right.
Mm-hmm.
So we can then exhale. We can then take the adversity and exhale and know we'll be okay.
Yeah.
But if we don't have that, then we're just this child facing things and just trying to get through. There's a psychological term called object constancy. And object constancy means, for our listeners or viewers, and you learn that, I think it's maybe 18 months, but I could be off. It's when you believe that when your parents go away, they're actually going to come back.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so object constancy is like, whereas before that, it's if they go away, they're never coming back. And there's like a terror almost that you feel.
Mm.
But there's a point where we psychologically develop enough, maybe we develop enough mastery so that if they don't come back, we can, you know, we can take care of ourselves in ways that months before we couldn't. And when you don't have that object constancy, because they don't come back, because they leave you, you know, alone with poop in your diaper, or leave you when you're starved and they don't feed you, you know, and then you just fall asleep from starvation, you know, then you don't have object constancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when adversity comes along, you don't have object constancy. Someone says something nasty to you. Someone rejects you. Someone gives you a bad grade. You haven't internalized that I'll get through this. because we didn't internalize that kind of emotional connection so that we could make it through life on our own. So whenever we run into adversity, it goes all the way back like, oh my God, it's happened again. And I don't know how I'm going to make it through it. And so instead of getting panicky, we get angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm not panicking, but we are coming to the end of the show. And yeah, thank you, my angelic friend, for this conversation. But yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, well, you know, look, if you're listening in, the child that you left behind is still waiting for you to come back to find him or her.
Yeah.
Go do that. Don't get angry at the people who did something to you. It's not a good use of your energy.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you there. And we do hope that people will come back and listen next time. Join us again for more Hurt Less, Live More. With me and the angel that is Dr. Mark Gulston. Hopefully you'll join us again soon. Bye-bye for now.